Okay. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse number 11, starting in King James, and I'll shift to New Living Translation. Let there be light. Hallelujah. Jeremiah going through some hard times. Israel going through some hard times. God speaks aloud and says to Jeremiah, this is the message I want you to bring. And God speaks and says, I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord. Let me just rest there for a second. I want you to know something today. Please take this home. God's thinking about you. No matter what's going on, God is thinking about you. He's always got you in his sights. He's your well-being, your needs. He knows because He's watching. For many years, people used to preach and still do that Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. That whole thing translates a little differently than that. It actually translates to say, I see your need and I provide. God's looking, God's thinking. Saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil. I could preach on that, but won't. To give you an expected end. I should have done that, shouldn't I? It doesn't work again, merrily. Flip it over for me, please. Flip that. Okay. Now one more time. New Living Translation. I like this one. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope. God has got a future in store for you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're feeling, no matter what you're experiencing, God has a future for you, and it's a great one. It's not just getting by. It's not just getting over. God's got some good stuff in store for His people. He thinks about you. The Bible says that God, that Jesus sits on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you. The Holy Spirit is ministering through us, for us, to us. We have the entire Godhead, the power of the Trinity, working in our behalf. Now, you may have had a bad week today. I had a bad week today, this week, excuse me. But I had to keep reminding myself, God is on my side. No matter what that letter says, no matter what that person says, no matter what I'm feeling, God has got a good future for me. Can someone say amen? Hallelujah. Anybody was here last week, if you weren't, I'll bring you up to speed real quick. I preached a sermon. It was a what-if type preaching. And I ask everyone here to be able to define their Christianity. And what I suggested to you, many times our Christianity is kind of self-centered. God saved my sin. God healed my body. God took care of my family. And I really think that though those things are good and they're important and they're great, I don't think that's the whole purpose of God's salvation. God's salvation is to bring glory to Himself. And we went back into the book of Genesis and found out that when God made us, originally, we were made in the image of God. The reflection of God. We looked like Him. We're supposed to act like Him. And it wasn't until man chose the tree of good and evil, knowledge of good and evil, over the tree of life. In that, creation was broken. When we choose knowledge over life, when we choose, I can do it, I know how, over only God does. People say, what's wrong with the world today? We live in a broken creation. Not only did Adam and Eve make that decision, we did too. And we do it continually. Hallelujah. Jesus said to Matthew that is born of the Spirit is spirit, but what's born of the flesh is flesh. When we're working in the flesh, we're going to get the rewards of the flesh. If we can learn to walk in the Spirit. And what I pose to you is that God's plan, the master plan of salvation, the reason behind it, was to return us to the former glory. I am convinced as I stand here today, God wants us to have the same relationship that Adam had when he walked in the cool of the day, arm in arm, side by side, footstep to footstep, with God Almighty. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. You got to help me out here. My clicker is not working. I think the batteries did. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, King James says, for whom he foreknew. Now, I know there's some denominations that made a complete doctrine out of this, but I'm not going to. I want it as a statement as a whole. For he whom he foreknew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. that he might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. I want you to look at this. Through God's foreknowledge, he knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb, Ephesians chapter 1. Before the foundation of the world was laid, he knew us. And I am convinced that when he knew us, he had a plan for us even that far long ago. Because someone say, amen. God's will. People say, what's God's will for me? What's God's will for me? I don't know what individually, but I can tell you corporately what God's will is for the church. For all of mankind is to return to the image of Jesus Christ. Think about that for a moment as we switch over to the Romans 8:29, the message. Glory unto God. Can you click? There we go. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. I usually don't deal with a lot of these more modern translations, but you got to love that. Does God know what he's doing? Have you ever been questioned about that? I have. Trying to share the love of God with a not yet saved person? God doesn't know what he's doing. Look at the mess. God didn't mess it up. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. My goodness, if that doesn't make you tingle a little bit, hallelujah, you might need to get born again. You just might need to be spirit-filled and refilled. There's something exciting that God made a decision from the beginning to shape the lives of those who love him. Do you ever feel like your life's being manipulated? It's because it is. It's like a piece of clay being molded, shaped, and made into the form of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Son stands first in the line of humanity. Excuse me, he restored. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. You want to see God's plan for you? Look at Jesus. You want to see how you're supposed to react to things? Look at Jesus. You want to know how we're supposed to act in the world going crazy? Look at Jesus. Hallelujah. All this political hoopla. I'm going to vote because I believe I'm supposed to. But you know what? I got to say this. Please forgive me. If you're a Democrat, forgive me. If you're a Republican, forgive me. If you're independent, forgive me. It really doesn't matter who gets elected. Because God has still got us in the palm of his hand. I lift up the kings, I pull down the kings, saith the Lord. I still believe we need to pray and vote. That being said, God's plan for you and I depends on something called light. Let me explain. The word image, made in the image of God, made in the image of the Son of God, means reflection. You know what a reflection is, don't you? Sun shines, moon's dark, sun shines on the moon, reflects back to us. Y'all know when you look up at night, there's actually nothing up there creating light. It's a reflection of the light coming. Y'all know that, okay? Basic science. Hallelujah. Without light, there can be no reflection. I'm not a scientist, okay? But I can feel very safe in saying that all reflections take light. Turn out the light, there's no reflection. Does that make sense? We are supposed to be a reflection. The moon produces no light on its own. It must depend on the sun to light it up. In me lies no good thing. I'm going to read that scripture again before we get out of here today. There's nothing in me. I don't produce any light of my own. Mankind produces no light of his own. We are a reflective substance. You say, well, that's hard to take. Maybe so, but it's what we are. We're the moon. Hallelujah. We have no light of our own. I have to depend on the light of the sun, S-O-N. I have to depend on that light in order to show forth anything. Without the sun in my life, without Jesus in my life, without that light in my life, I'm just a dark hole. Look around us. Look around the world we're in. Those who do not walk in Christ walk in darkness. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 7, if you help me out there, verse 18. Only one version this time. For I know that in me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I may want to. We can train this thing, and I encourage you to train your mind. I encourage you to read. I encourage you to study. But just knowing it doesn't mean you can do it. Hallelujah to God. You can read every book ever written, every scripture and every translation and still be sitting in darkness. You're just an educated dark hole. Hallelujah. I know people that can quote the Bible to me in 14 different translations and in Greek and in Hebrew and Aramaic, and they're still living like a devil. It doesn't take knowledge unless you can mix it with light. Can someone say amen or oh my, it's up to you. Hallelujah. Since the fall of man. Now, I got to tell you, I'm old, but I wasn't there for that. Hallelujah. But I do know that since the fall of man, we, mankind, has walked in darkness. Glory. How do you know that? Well, as the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, he had to deliver us out of darkness. Turn there or look behind me. Look behind me. That was your cue. But ye are a chosen generation. We go, yeah, we know that. I was asked one time, I was guest speaker in a place in quite a few miles from here. The woman pastor asked me, said, are you a priest? I said, yeah, but not of the Roman variety. I am a priest, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. We talked about that Wednesday. Peculiar does not necessarily mean weird. Matter of fact, it does not. It just means different. A different people that you should show forth the praises of him. Now here's why. Who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I've told a story here before, and I won't tell it before, about being in a very dark place in Bulgaria. It was so dark, you could just feel the dark. It was like walking into a black, wet blanket. It was so dark. How dark was it? It was so dark. I literally had to feel my way across. It was a wall inside a wall, like a cave. In the meantime, I had to remember the people who built it in the 1700s, 1600s, weren't about that tall. So I'm walking like this, watching, trying to see. I can't even see my feet. The greatest thing I've seen, brother, was the daylight when I got out of there. Hallelujah. I understand that. I think John has a similar story about being down in the waters and diving. There's something about coming out of a dark place where you have no control, no knowledge, don't have a clue what's going on, and suddenly you burst forth into the light. Oh, hallelujah. It's a wonderful thing. God, hallelujah, has delivered us out of a similarly dark place and brought us into his light. I don't think you can get any brighter than standing in the presence of God. Can someone say amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to read that same thing. If you click that over to 1 Peter 2:9 and the Amplified Version. I was going to yell in the microphone and say it was the Amplified Version, but that wouldn't be fair. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased, special people. Y'all special. You know, sometimes we use that word to insult somebody. You're special. I am special. I was not special 35 years ago. But when I walked down that aisle and said, yeah, I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I'm special because I'm bought with a price and I'm not my own anymore. That you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You were not only called out of darkness, we're called for a reason. We're called for a reason. Hallelujah. I don't want to pop your bubble. Actually, I think I do. Salvation is not here just to make you feel good about yourself. Now, that's one of the perks. That's one of the effects of it. I feel great about myself. Even when I'm feeling down, I feel great about myself because Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. But that's not his main reason. His main reason that I will walk in the light and set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of him who called me. I'm meant to be a reflection. Hallelujah. I'm glad that when the light comes, it just doesn't show me as I am. Because when the light comes, it's God's light. And what I reflect back is the presence of God. See, when people see me, they need to see Jesus. Now, don't go into a condemnation trip. I'm aware this could put you there. There's freedom at the end of the service there. We are supposed to be. I said this to someone, and then we had to discuss it because didn't quite get it, like it, whatever. We had the discussion last week, Sister Sharon and I. I said, I was told this by an old-time preacher. I'm going to blame him in case you don't agree. He says, we should be, the church, should be the conscience of society. Well, what does that mean? It means that our lives, in comparison to theirs, because of the presence of God, should actually cause them to look at themselves and say, oh boy, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. Many years ago when I first got saved, this is a long time ago, 30 plus years ago, I was in a church. It was in the middle of the charismatic renewal, and everybody was dancing and shouting and just carrying. And this young lady used to sit in the front, Annie, different Annie, not you. And she brought one of her friends from work to a church service. This was a Friday night church service. I got to tell you, back then, Friday night was dance night. The Holy Ghost would show up, and we would dance and carry on, and the chairs went flying, and the organ would start cranking. And this little, this girl had real long hair, this guest, and she sat there and put her head down, and she kind of enveloped herself in hair. And she sat there in total silence for about 30 minutes. I don't know how a dead man couldn't stay in silence that long. Not in that service. And finally, her friend who brought her Annie tapped her and said, what's wrong with you? And she looked up and she was bawling. She says, you people make me feel so guilty. No one preached. No one said a word. We were just shouting and praising God. We were like a bunch of crazy Pentecostals. Well, we were Pentecostal. Hallelujah. And this poor girl. Oh, no, she wasn't a poor girl. She was under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory unto God. Light is important, most important to most life. Now, I know there's going to be someone who says, what about the moles? What about the mushrooms? I'm not talking about moles and mushrooms. I'm talking about humans. I don't know about y'all, but a mushroom can live under the ground if it wants to. I need sunshine. I need the light. Hallelujah. And everyone sitting here, unless you're a mushroom or a mole, needs light. God knows that. So I'm going to take you out of the darkness, the lifestyle. I'm going to take you out of your sin, and I'm going to bring you into the light. Hallelujah. Oh, by the way, worms are in there too. Praise God. Hallelujah. I am not a subterranean species. God made me to walk on this earth until I get into heaven when I can walk on streets of gold. And in that, I need light. As a matter of fact, it's so important that God handled that situation first when he created the world. Genesis chapter 1. You say, you're going to the Old Testament? Amen. Genesis chapter 1. Story of creation. You may have heard of it. Hope you've read it. Pray that you believe it. God came upon... Now, I hear this theological thing. Well, what happened before Genesis chapter 1? I don't know. Does it really matter? All I know is what it says. In the beginning. Yeah, I got to tell you something about this scripture. This is probably one of the most read scriptures in all the time. And to this day, I've been saved 36 years, 37 years. You know longer than I do. How long? 34. 78. 34. You're right. I just had my 34th birthday month and a half ago. Hallelujah. Don't I wish. I read this many, many times. Last night as I printed out, I felt the chill bumps come on me. Just as I was typing it from the computer, I just felt that the awesome power of the creation of God. In the beginning, God created. You can stop right there, say amen, and go home. All this science, all this money, all this foolishness, I don't care how long a shrimp can run on a treadmill. I don't care what they find on Mars. I really don't. You know why they have to do that? I pick on this, my wife. You know why they have to do that? Because they cannot accept the alternative. The alternative is, in the beginning, God said. Hallelujah. And the earth was out form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light, that it was good. He could have done anything, Brother Ron. He could have created anything first, but he knew that life would depend on light. First thing God did when he sorted out this mess down here, he put light number one. Hallelujah to God. Praise him. The job of the Holy Spirit in creation was the same then as it is today. To work with God to straighten up anything that's all messed up. That simplifies the whole Holy Spirit theology. I've spent years, I lived in the South for a while, talking with people who don't believe in the Holy Ghost the way I do. And you know, the bottom line is, the Holy Spirit's job hasn't changed. The first thing the Holy Spirit did is he moved across the water. Trust me, he was not water skiing. We live in a lake area and everybody's out skiing and whatever they're doing. He was working with God and he was doing what God said. God says, separate the light from the dark. Holy Spirit said, it's done. The Holy Spirit is doing the same thing now. He comes upon a life like mine, void, without form, all mixed and messed up. He says, let's separate some things in George's life. That's the job of the Holy Spirit today. Hallelujah. Now, if you get a benefit of a tongue or an interpretation or a prophecy or one of those gifts, that's fine. I'm all for it. I believe it and I encourage it. But the job of the Holy Spirit is not to make me a tongue talker. It's to make me, when I open my mouth, I say something worth listening to. To change me. Hallelujah. Glory unto God. We need mankind, all void, without form, all dark. We need light. Just like the world needed light in Genesis chapter number 1. Now the Holy Spirit, working under the authority of God, calls us out of the darkness into a marvelous light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, that's all there is to it, right? He's called us out of darkness. All done, right? Well, not so fast. The process is not complete yet. The operative word there is yet. The Holy Spirit is not done yet. God is not finished with us yet. Jesus has not been perfected in us yet. Turn to your neighbor and say, yet. It is a process, and sometimes I don't like the process. I don't like it in me, and sometimes I don't like it in you. But sometimes God uses me and my process to irritate you to further along your process. Hallelujah. Did you ever think of yourself as an irritant? Woo! Got to take that out of the tape somehow. The process is not completed. The process of being made in the image of God and Christ takes some time. Can someone say time? See, I look at time one way, and I am quite convinced God sees it totally different. I look at my life, I'm 60 years old, and to me, that's a long time. I've gotten it 1 minute at a time. It's taken a long time to build up all those minutes. But to God, it's like that much. George? Yeah, I've seen him just like that. He sees me in the beginning. He sees me now. He sees me in the end. He saw me in my drug-addicted stage. He sees me in my preaching stage. God sees it all. Hallelujah. And the best part of it is when he sees me all messed up, it didn't scare him a bit. Because he's seen past that. He says, when I call him out of darkness, when I place him in the marvelous light, when I finish what I'm working on him, he's going to be just like Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't know about y'all, but feel free to call God Daddy. That the Bible does. That's the word Abba. It means Daddy. Daddy loves you. Daddy corrects you. Daddy loves you. As a daddy, I get mad at my kids, but I still love them. I don't give up on them. They're my kids. Hallelujah. Many times I've given them to God. Hallelujah. Well, you know, in full gospel, let me explain that. Y'all think you know what I mean. But in full gospel circles, most times they do not baptize infants. I don't myself. But there is a dedication where you can give your child back to God. I found out the hard way. I didn't know what a dedication was. I didn't know I had to take them back home. I'm only kidding. Only kidding. Hallelujah. Some mothers just looked at me with that look like, hallelujah, only joking. But I gave them to God, and every once in a while, sometimes, they make decisions that really just hurt me. And you sit back and you weep for them, because, man, I've been there. I've made that same decision 40-some-odd years ago, and it ended up in this. Why won't you listen to me? Probably the same reason I didn't listen to my mom and dad. I knew it all. But I know in that, when I see that happening with my kids, I took them to an altar, literally left them at the altar, went back to my seat. They finished the service, and then the kids were allowed to come back to the parents. And it was a heartbreaking thing. But now I look at that and say, I remember the day. I remember the place. I can see the inside of the church right now where I took our children. Mom and I took our children, placed them on the altar. We took up most of the altar. We got seven of them. kids, that is. It's growing. We got like 20 grandchildren now, and four or five, six great-grandchildren. But when things go wrong, we say, you know, I gave them to God. And God's got to take care of that. Hallelujah. The process of being made in the image and likeness of God takes time. It takes not only the general exposure to the light, like walking out from a dark place to the bright sunlight, but it also takes a continuous exposure to a more concentrated form of light. You know, we flip the lights on in here, and light disperses the darkness and so forth. But if I didn't have one, I didn't want to go out and buy one. If I had a spotlight, I was going to take a spotlight in the pulpit and just shine it on you. See, that's a more concentrated. It shows up things that you might not see just with general lighting. You're an electrician. You know what I'm talking about. There's a more intense, concentrated light. And when it shines on it, you just may see things that you didn't see before. I've been called out of darkness into this general, marvelous light of God, but that didn't stop there. Because God's light has a more concentrated form in which he does it individually and privately. Shines upon Dave, shines upon Jeff, shines upon me. And when that concentrated spotlight shines on me, things show up. Things that maybe you're not supposed to see, but God does. Hallelujah. Don't get condemned yet. Hallelujah. The light kind of focuses on the areas that still need improvement or work to remove the things that are keeping us from being the reflection of Jesus. Hallelujah. The plan of God is to be God-like. The plan of God is to be Christ-like. Anybody remember what the word Christian means? Little Christ. The people of that day, they looked at the Christians and said, look at the little Christ. They were mocking them, but they were saying a truism. Those men and women look strangely, acted strangely, like Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The job of God and His light is to expose the things that are preventing us from walking into the plan, the fullness, the abundance of what God has for us. See, I don't know about y'all. I read a scripture and it troubles me. And here's the scripture. God said that He will give us a blessing that we are unable to contain. So far, I can still contain the blessings of God. That means there's got to be more to this thing. And I'm just going to say, I don't believe that's God's problem, or fault, I should say. But whatever's in me, here's how I think about it. Whatever's in me that keeps the fullness of that blessing to overtake me, get rid of it. I want whatever that thing is, I want it. I want the windows of heaven to be open and to pour out a blessing that I cannot contain. That's what I want. Well, you know what? Whatever that's stopping me, get rid of it, Lord. Now, I say that, but I'm not always liking the methodology He chooses to get rid of it. If He just shined the light on it, Brother Ron, wouldn't be so bad. Me and God shine the light. Yeah, I'm in the light. Praise God. But then He brings about the process, the circumstances, the situations that's going to break me, deliver me, heal me, change me from that thing. I've told a story here so many times. I've got some new people. I've got new ears. I'm going to tell it again. When I was a baby Christian, I mean the first 3 to 4 weeks of my Christianity, if that long, we were having house meetings over my hometown where I came from. And altar calls were new to me. I didn't know what they were. And they gave an altar call, and they had like a picnic table sitting there or bench, and that was the altar. And I remember going there, and everyone's kneeled down, so I did. And the preacher came to me, Brother Ron. He looks at me and said, Brother, what do you need? And I said, God heard it. God's been... I said, I need patience. And I heard this sound, and I looked behind me. Here's the old saints of God. They were sitting in the front seat. They had their legs crossed going, shouldn't have done that, boy. Here's why they said that. God has been answering that prayer for 34 years. I need patience, God. He says, good. Watch me give them to you. Please don't look at your spouse. Don't look at your kids. It's between you and God. Hallelujah. If you pray against fear, God will put you in some of the most fearful situations you've ever seen. Just so you can lean on Him, lean on faith, and not have to be afraid. You think I would understand that when I get afraid? Sometimes in my own life, I got to have a little come to Jesus meeting. Jesus? And before I even get out of my mouth, John, it changes. God, do you know what? Well, of course you know what's going on. Hallelujah. There's never been a fight that God has lost. I've lost my share. I was reading a book. I don't know if I will tell you to read this, but it was by Watchman Nee. And Watchman Nee was a Christian, a Chinese variety in the 1940s and 50s. Powerful thinker, but on the edge. But he told a story. This is back in the 1940s, his book was written. He told a story of a woman who mentored him. And it was talking about this process. And he talked to the woman, and he was sharing with her, much like I feel sometimes, like, God, I don't want to go through this. Anybody here really like getting beat up? I work in mental health. I'll meet with you later. Thank you. No one likes getting beat. And the preacher was talking to the mentor, and he talked to her and said, well, says, here's what I do. So I have a prayer I pray. Says, God, don't let me win this battle I'm fighting with you. I don't want to do what you want me to do, but I don't want to win either. And I thought about that for the last couple of weeks as I read that quote. That makes a whole bunch of sense. You know, I don't always want to do God's will. Now, you can get mad at me if you want to, but I'm just going to be plain honest up here. I don't always want to do what God wants me to do. Now, you can say amen, oh my, or whatever you want to say. We live down south. People used to talk back a lot more than y'all do up here. And you can start talking, you go, bless them, Lord. Mm-hmm. Yep, bless them. And if you start getting what they thought, they go, help them, Lord. Help Jesus. And if you hit something like I just said, they go, oh, Lord, have mercy. You could just tell where the congregation was at just by the feedback. Hallelujah. That was one of those Lord have mercy things there. Hallelujah. I fight with God. But my heart is, don't let me win. I do not want to go through the uncomfortable situations that God puts me through. Now, you can say, well, I don't mind a bit. God bless you. Y'all pray for me. Hallelujah. There are some people that can just seem to have it together. I not only don't have it together, I show when I don't have it together. Hallelujah. But that's part of the recreation process. That's what's taken us from what we are to what we're supposed to be. That's taken us from what we have become to what He wanted us to be in the beginning. The plan for me is not what I'm living now. I'm in the process. Hallelujah. 34 years ago, Jesus intervened. Put me back on the road. But I still got a long ways to go. Can someone say amen? Those who know me most would say amen the quickest. I got a long ways to go. But I'm proud to say. You say, shouldn't you be humble? Yeah, well, I'm proud of my humility. I'm proud to say that Jesus is in control. Even when I fight Him. Even when I argue with Him. Even when I just kick my feet like a little kid. You know, God will drag me from point A to point B with my heels dragging, making black marks across the floor if necessary. He's going to get me there. I can make it easy on me, or I can make it hard on me. Usually it's the latter. Hallelujah. Where were we here? God has expectations. He told Jeremiah, the people through Jeremiah, said, I haven't expected it. And here's what God expects. God expects us to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. That's His expectation. That's the plan. He said, what about ministry? That's great. But you know what? That's not the center portion of God's will. God's center portion of God's will is to be Christ-like. If you're not Christ-like, help me with this, Jesus. Stay out of the pulpit. If you're not at least submitted to the plan and the process, stay out of the band. Don't do it. Because all you're going to do is show forth darkness. But when we come to the presence of Jesus, and that light begins to shine, He begins to change us, then comes ministry. First comes light, then comes ministry. First comes change, then comes ministry. Now, you may not choose to believe what I preached to you last week about the coming back to the original glory, but I'm convinced that God's plan is to restore man to that glory just like in the beginning. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I want you to think about this. Who would not want to walk in the cool of the day with God? We spend some of you real prayer warriors, you'll spend hours on your knees just to get a glimpse of God. We play the music, we preach the word, we seek God, just to get a glimpse of God. What about being able to take a walk with Him? What a joyful thing. Is it so hard, is it such a far reach to believe that God wants us to come back to that place where He can walk with us and talk with us? You know, there are denominations that argue about that song.
It's not theologically correct. Balderdash.
Come on. God, it says right there in the book, God walked with Him in the cool of the day. So what's wrong with the song? I walk with Him. I talk with Him. It's a great thing. Hallelujah. Many, many, many years ago, before I even moved to this area, it's how long ago, 20-some-odd years, just like now is a political thing going on. We're getting to run for president. And a man by the name of Pat Robinson was running for president. You may remember those many days. And I remember turning on TV, and this secular news guy was talking to I'm trying to think of a man's name, big African-American man, E.V. Hill. And he was talking to him, and he was kind of making fun of Pat Robinson. Says,
well, you know, Reverend Hill, Pat Robinson said he prays every day. He said, can you trust this country to a man who prays every day?
And E.V. Hill, being the Black Baptist brother, he's, what? I can't trust this country to a man who doesn't pray every day. Hallelujah. We got to get a hold of God for direction and correction and the things that we need. Hallelujah. Instead of trying to figure out with carnal wisdom what's wrong in us, we need to let God shine a spotlight on the part that He's ready to fix. Let me just interject this real quick. Hallelujah. Get up Psalms 119 for me. There's a tendency, and I did this for years, and all I managed to do is beat the living daylights out of myself. I used to have this introspection thing going on. And I was proud that about once a year, so I would sit down and I would just inspect myself. And you know, it kind of felt good in a way to do it, but I never got any better. The things I found in my inspection never went away. And I began to think, you know, there's something wrong here. There's something wrong. Anything that I find out on my own is still the carnal man finding it out. However, Psalms 119, 105, and we've all seen this, we've all sang the song, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Where are we going to find the light for correction? Where are we going to find the light that has God's love and God's mercies and graces to correct us? Where are we going to find it? Where can we find light? How about the Word of God? Thy Word. Thy Word written. Thy Word spoken. Thy Word sung. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet. Now, let me twist this real quick and say, why do you think preachers and others, but preachers in particular, you just can't trust those preachers. Give us a few minutes, we'll tell you to read your Bible. There is a reason for it. It's not so you can prove how smart you are and quote it back. As you're reading the Word of God is a light. It's just you and the book, and the light begins to shine on my soul, on my heart. And the things that grieve God, though He loves me and they're covered by the blood, the things that grieve God suddenly become illuminated. See, when I read about the selflessness of the saints, my selfishness begins to glow. And I see it for what it is. When I read about giving and I'm not, I get convicted. So, my God, the light is shining on me. Hallelujah. Let me try to build a metaphor here as we get ready to close. Glory and honor. The fastest way to put yourself under condemnation is try to figure out what's wrong with you. Trust me, I tell you this from experience. If you really want to be condemned, if you're into that kind of thing, go home and try to figure out what's wrong with you and why you're not godlike. Hallelujah. I'll give you my phone number because you'll be calling. Oh, Pastor, yeah, I told you. You can't do that. You and I can always, someone say always, always find fault with ourselves. Or we're living in denial. Now, I'm the one that finds fault with myself. Hallelujah. I was on the phone the other day with our church overseer, Brother John, and I made a statement. He answered me so fast, I had to laugh. I said, John, you know me. I tend to beat up myself. He goes, yep. I said, well, thank you for not thinking too long about it. But he knows me, and he knows that I tend to condemn myself. Because I look at what I didn't do, and I look at what I should have done, and what I could have done. Meanwhile, I don't know if that's the will of God or not. Hallelujah. I think it was Abraham Lincoln says, if you want to find the fault, if you look for the faults in a man, surely you will find it. If I look at the faults in myself, I can give you more faults than any of you know about. Hallelujah. But are they the ones that God is dealing with? Oh, by the way, you have some too. Okay, just want to make that straight. God, however, He gets it right every time. There's no guessing with Him. God knows what's wrong. He knows how to fix it, and He knows when and how He's going to fix it. Hallelujah. He gets it right every time. He does it without condemnation if we let Him do it. Hebrews chapter 4. Hallelujah. Very great, great piece of scripture here. For the Word of God, what I say before, thy word's a lamp unto my feet, is more than just a light. The Word of God is quick. Thank God. Thank God. I don't want to stay in this thing any longer than I have to. Powerful. More powerful than my sin. And sharper than any two-edged sword. I'm not talking about some toy sword your kids may have at home. I'm talking about a William Wallace sword. I'm talking about one that you take a swing and cut a man in half. I'm talking about a sharp sword. Hallelujah. Piercing. Even the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit. I think that's my next teaching for next week, is the difference between the soul and the spirit. And of the joints and the marrow. Anybody here? I know you work in the hospital. There's some of us here who work in hospitals and different things. I have been told, I'm not a biologist, I'm a psychologist. But I've been told in biology that there is a place where the bone and marrow join that you can't separate and call it either one, because it's like a mixture of the two. But the Word of God is so sharp. By the way, sword, go home and get your concordance. Scalpel. It's a scalpel, and it's so sharp, it can actually separate bone from marrow. Man can't even do that. Hallelujah. And maybe I should have dropped this last part off the scripture. What do you guys think? It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Let me draw you a picture. Hallelujah. Think for a moment. God forbid you come into a situation where you need surgery. Some of you have had surgeries over the years. But you come to a situation and there's no one to operate. You have in your possession a pocket knife, hatchet, chainsaw, you know, something that'll cut. Because some of the things we do to ourselves is like taking a chainsaw to our spirit anyway. And you got to do it yourself. You got no anesthesia. It's getting pretty ugly, isn't it? Basically, that's what we do. We try to fix ourselves. We're taking the wrong tools, the wrong approach, no knowledge, no painkillers. I thank God He's got anesthesia. Called the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Think of what the mess you would create, brother, if you had to fix yourself with just a few rudimentary tools and no knowledge or abilities. You say, oh my God, I would never do that. But we do it in our spiritual life. Now, replay that. Same procedure, same problem. Only this time, the surgeon is the best in the world, using the sharpest scalpel and the finest tools. That's God. God looks at the problem. And one thing you don't have to worry about, John, you won't have to go to the operating theater. If they ever have, I ever have to go to an ER, I'm going to look for that first. If I ever have to go to OR, I should say. If I hear, I don't care how much I'm sedated, if I hear a chainsaw, I'm out of there. Hallelujah. I want the very, if I have to have surgery, I pray I never do. I believe God to keep me healthy, but if something happens, I pray that the best surgeon in the world is the one standing over me. And I'm praying He's got the sharpest scalpels, and He's got the best knowledge, and the best, I want the best. Hallelujah. Because when I get all done, I want to be made whole. Hallelujah. Why don't we do that with Jesus? Jesus, I need some surgery. I got this growth in me. It's called pride. I got this growth in me. It's called fear. I got this growth in me. I can't believe you to help me feed my family and pay my bills. I need surgery. I don't want to do it myself, Brother George. I want Jesus with his sharp two-edged sword that's able to divide asunder my soul and my spirit. Hallelujah. I want him to operate on me. How about y'all? Hallelujah. I don't want to hack around by myself. I'd rather let God, using his light, his word, to fix what's broken. You ever hear of laser surgery? God invented it right here. Thy word's a light. Genesis chapter 17. Glory unto God. God wants you to be like him. Can we agree on that? Can we agree that the word of God says that? Says, I'm going to read the same scripture after several out of several translations. They all mean the same, but they use different words that I think we could wrap our minds around. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, in God's Word translation says, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him. He said to Abraham, I am God Almighty. Live in my presence with integrity, being in the image of God. Good News translation. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Obey me and always do what's right. Starting to paint a picture yet? The Message. When Abraham was 99 years old, God showed up and said to him, I am the strong God. Live entirely before me. Live to the hilt. Jesus used the word abundant. And of course, the original King James. The Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be thou perfect. You see why I read the other ones first? The word perfect scares us. Perfect does not mean everything is 1,000% right. But God held himself up and said, look at me. I am perfect. Be ye therefore perfect. He was just kidding, right? No. God never told us to do something that couldn't be done. Now, you say, I can't do that. Now you're getting it. We need surgery. We need the Word of God. We need it to be applied to this imperfect self that we can be the perfection like Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's say that God's plan is to make us perfect like Jesus. Let's just say. What's his plan for getting us there? I counsel during the week. I just love people. Oh, I'm just going to change. How are you going to do that? Oh, I'm just going to be different. How are you going to do that? But I was just going to... What's your plan? Silence. What's the plan? God, it sounds good. I'm going to be like Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. How? How am I going to be like Christ? Grow longer hair? Let my beard grow out? Get rid of the white, of course. Wear a robe? Probably not. Can it be as simple as letting us live our lives in abundance, enjoying the grace of God daily, and reading his word regularly? Can it be that simple? I've had people tell me over the years, when I was more evangelical and so forth, I've had people tell me, it can't be that simple. Oh, but it is. Oh, sure, I can live like this all my life, and all I got to do is turn to Jesus and get forgiven. Now you got it. Yes. Hallelujah. Well, what if I'm lying to him? I would not want to be you. Hallelujah. And letting the light of the Word live in for him, reading the Word, and letting the light of the Word shine on all those imperfections that are dulling the reflection, the image of God. Hallelujah. Do you ever notice, I'm sure you have, don't nod your head, don't look at your neighbor. Do you ever notice in the busy world we live in, and we are in a busy world, everything's out there to take our time away. Do you ever notice that one of the first things that goes is Bible reading and or prayer? I don't have time. I get it. But you know, we got a battle. I think it was name in a second here. The great reformer, Martin Luther. Supposedly he said one day, I have so many things to do today. I've got this. I'm so busy, I've got to spend the first 5 hours in prayer. Now, I'm not telling you to spend 5 hours in prayer, because that's a special gift, okay? What about 5 minutes? Start someplace. Can I tell you where I pray? Don't make any mental images. Most of my prayers are in the shower. It's the only place I got nothing else to do. The TV's not on. The phone rings, I can't hear. It's just me, the water, the suds, and God.
He said, you would pray while you're naked?
Why not? He made me. Not shocking him. Please don't get a mental image. Please. Could it be so simple as living the abundant life while God transforms you, while he shines his light on you, leading you on the pathway to perfection through his word? I think it is. And you know what? It is that easy. If you've got that question, oh yeah, it can't be that easy. It is. It is. That's the plan. I know the thoughts I have towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts for good, not for evil. Another translation says, not for disaster. You know, without word and prayer and presence of God, disaster is our portion. Hallelujah. Living by grace, living by mercy, sitting in the light of the word, being transformed into the reflection of God, of his Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. All the while, the power of God moving through the Holy Spirit in you, leading you through his word, changes you. A little here, a little there, until you reach that expected end, the purpose, and the plan of God. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Hallelujah. I don't know what you came here to find today, but I pray you did. I hope that we can all walk out of this room today, go back into our daily lives with a renewed faith that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above whatever he has said, whatever he has promised. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. I can't fathom in my brain and my imagination, and I got a vivid imagination, I cannot fathom God's full plan for me. Hallelujah. I can't imagine me responding as Jesus responded. I can't imagine me never having to apologize like Jesus never apologized for anything he did or said. So he just did what the Father told him. But I can believe it because it's written. With a little bit of digging in the Bible, it comes pretty clear. God's got a plan. God's got a method. God's got an end result in mind. If we will cooperate, I hear people say we have nothing to do with this. Possible exception is the word cooperation. I do believe that we need to cooperate with God. Hallelujah. But if we can find a way, if it's a simple prayer like the song we were singing earlier, I want to do your will. God, I heard a woman I knew many years ago says, you know, one of my prayers is, Father, make me willing to do your will. I pray that often. I don't want to be discomforted. I don't want to be not denied anything. I'm pretty much a human being. But I know as I read the Word of God, God not only shows me what needs to be fixed, but as he's showing it to me, he's already in the process of fixing it. Hallelujah. Can I help, Lord? No. No. Leave it alone, son. Leave it alone, daughter. I got this one. Hallelujah. If you need healing, God will heal your body. But you know he'll also heal your emotions and your memories. God will deliver you. Not only from substances, but from curses and from things people have said to you. Do you know how many people live under a curse of something someone said? Many times when I pray for people, I pray over words. How many times has a child heard that he's an idiot before he begins to believe he is? How many times does a wife hear that she's a loser before she begins to believe she is? Those are curses. They can be broken. They can be delivered. Hallelujah. God wants you to be the best you that he called you to be. Some of you are here, and maybe even myself, we still don't have a clue what the end result is. I think I got an idea through the gift of prophecy and different men and women have spoken. But God himself has not stood before me and said, this is what you're going to do tomorrow and the day after. Instead, he says, have faith. This is my way. walk ye in it. In Jesus' name, accept the grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, allow the light of the Word to change, to rearrange, to fix, to heal, to bring us to that place that we and now can be called a reflector of the greatest light this world will ever know. May we be the reflection of the Father. May we be the Jesus that people can see as we go on our jobs and in our families and in the supermarkets. May people look at us and say, there's something different about that woman. There's something different about that family. There's something different. Don't know what it is, but it just may spark a curiosity that would cause them to begin to seek or to even ask. May we be what God uses to help someone else along in their walk. Father, we submit ourselves as much as we can. We ask that you make us more and more willing and more able to submit ourselves to the work that you have started in us. You brought me into this world. You caused me to grow. You see me through all them bad years. And then you brought me into the marvelous light. Hallelujah. Lord, you've been working on me longer since I've been saved than you did before I was saved. You put up with me the first 30 years. You've been changing me for the last 34. May the change continue. May I be able to be presented before my Father and hear the words of my Father as he says, well done, good and faithful servant, enter in. May I hear the proclamation that every Jewish father gave over his successful son and says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. I long to hear that. Father, may I submit myself to the process to get to that place. In Jesus' name, read the Bible. You say, where do I start reading? Doesn't matter. Not really. I mean, if you want to pray and ask God, that's fine. You want to buy a book and study, that's fine. The whole book, 753,000 words, is anointed. It's God's handwritten word. Anything you read's got life. In Jesus' name, be blessed. Can we stand to our feet? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before we leave,